You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to another edition of Break a Bat, where baseball meets Broadway and sports meets show business. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you from our holiday block party with a gift to our loyal audience. We've had a lot of positive reception to some of the conversations we've released over the past year and change with hitters from the Muppet world. I think more than 100 episodes into Break a Bat, you know how much the whole Jim Henson universe means to me. And that's certainly the case this time of year as we celebrate the holidays. Tonight, I want to introduce you all to a very special hitter who, in many ways, is kind of like the Michael Kay of the Muppet fandom. He is the voice of the fan. For those of you that are familiar with the website Tough Pigs, it's the premier destination for Muppet fans who grew up. Our guest tonight is the website's co-owner and editor-in-chief, who I think is as knowledgeable and hilarious and objective as they come. So as a gift to all of our listeners tonight, I thought it would be really fun to talk some Muppet holiday productions with someone who knows them best. So with that being said, I ask you all to please turn your attention to home plate. Just beyond the marquee, now batting, Joe Hennis. Joe, what's up, brother?
Hey, Al. Good to see you. Good to be here.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad that we're not actually talking about baseball, because my baseball knowledge is so very, very limited. I have been to a baseball game. I could talk about that day, but no, I'd much rather talk about Muppets.
Singular game. Okay. I mean, I'm going to go on a whim. Was it the Cleveland then at the time Indians? Because I know you were an Ohio
Yes.
kid originally, right?
Yeah, I know. I am a Cleveland guy, and I actually do like going to baseball games. I live in New York now, and I've been to the Mets, and I am actually a fan of going to minor league baseball games. So I've been to the Brooklyn Cyclones a few times, which is pretty fun. And I mean, this would be not at all surprising. I'm also a big fan of just the concept of mascots. So, you know, I've been like that guy that's like, I got to find Slider. I need a picture with Slider today before I leave the stadium.
Well, you know, I think it was Bonnie Erickson who designed the Philly Fanatic. And she did. Yeah. So she's done that one. And you know, back in the day, it was only a 3-year stint, but the Yankees had a mascot called Dandy. And I'm pretty sure that someone in the workshop designed that one too. And it looked like a Muppet. It looked like a Muppet going around the upper deck and everything. It was like kind of bizarre. It was before my time, but yeah, that was,
That sounds familiar, Dandy. I actually spent some time, updating Bonnie Erickson's, Wikipedia page. And that was part of it, was like listing out all of the mascots that she's designed. I mean, I don't know if your listeners know who Bonnie Erickson is. Like, we're talking about her as if she's a celebrity to anyone outside of our world. But Bonnie is still active, a puppet designer. And she designed, I mean, notably, she designed the original Miss Piggy. She designed Statler Waldorf. She designed a few of the characters from like the Electric Mayhem, like a ton of Muppets, worked in the Muppet Workshop, ran the Muppet Workshop for years. And, at one point when she decided like, you know, I kind of want to break out on my own and do my own thing, like Jim Henson gave her, you know, everything that she needed and was super supportive, gave her the advice of whatever you create, make sure that you own. And she did pretty well for herself, especially with all those mascots. You know, they make a lot of money.
Yeah, no, they certainly do. And do you have a favorite that comes to mind as far as like any of the mascots from the stadiums that you've gone to?
I mean, being a Cleveland guy, I actually did like Slider very much. But, you know, I mean, this is an easy answer, but like I am tickled by Gritty. I know it's not baseball, but that like Gritty as just as a mascot is everything I want him to be.
I'm trying to think like Gritty. Oh, the Philadelphia Flyers. Yes. Yeah, like those like kind of like crazy eyes, like looking at the looking.
Well,
at
and he's like specifically that. Designed for like doing weird shit on social media. Like that's it.
Oh man, that's a good answer. I've never actually been to a Philadelphia Flyers game, but I'm gonna have to start following Gritty's social feeds. But man, I you know, just to get back to you for a moment, Joe, you've had a crazy busy year. I want to congratulate you celebrating 20 years of Tough Pigs, new website design, podcast. Yeah. Banner year for you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been crazy, and you know, in true Muppet form, you know, everything that we try to do, we fail miserably. So, you know, we celebrate our 20th anniversary. We launched this new website and, we are premiering the Great Muppet Mural, which we can also talk about if you want, but like, it's just this incredible piece that we put together with the help of 75 of our closest artist friends. And, just as we do all that, the website completely crashes and it's down for like 2 weeks. So, you know, it's like, it's almost like the universe telling us like, don't get too big for your britches. You know, you're just a Muppet fan site.
I remember that when that was happening, to tell you the truth, I would try to log on and everything. And I think I saw you guys tweeted about it, but it actually, I mean, the new layout and format and everything is just so awesome. And that mural absolutely came out great. You had like all these different artists doing these different characters around the Muppet Theater, right?
Yeah, so our good friend James Carroll, who's an artist and a graphic designer, decided he wanted to do something with us to celebrate our 20th anniversary. We looped in some of our other artist friends like Dave Haltine and Kenny Durkin. And basically, the idea was, let's have a backdrop of the Muppet Theater and let's just ask some of our artist friends to populate it with characters. And we had all these different characters, different styles. And so many people were so excited to be a part of this. We ended up with 75 artists. And I think 260 some characters. Like, it's incredible how massive this thing is. And of course, like, we don't own any of these characters. We can't like sell merchandise. We can't like sell this poster because we don't want Disney lawyers to come after us. So like, it's really just this love letter to and from the fans. And, you know, I hope people go and find it on our website and, honestly, just download the JPEG. We don't need to sell that NFT. Like that's for you. That's free.
Joe, it's awesome because honestly, you know, what you just talked about is like, it shows that you're all about the fans. You always have been. Let me ask you, what's the best and the worst part of the responsibility you have as the guy who runs the show and has such a prominent place in the fandom? Do you ever take a step back and think about that?
Yeah, you know, the best part, and I mean, I really don't want to sound like I'm bragging, you know, because we've gotten to do some cool stuff. You know, we've gotten to like go to sets and meet characters, meet people and stuff like that. You know, I don't, that's not the reason I do it. It's just, that it's just a little perk, but every once in a while, you know, you meet somebody who, you've loved your entire life. You've loved their work. You've basically just put them up on a pedestal and not like they're talking to you like a real person, or, you know, they even say like, I want to work with you. I want to do something with you. And like, man, like the recent one that happened to me, and I've known him for years. We've worked together on other stuff that is not public yet, but Chris Cerf, who was a Sesame Street songwriter from like 1970, like 1995. I mean, if chances are, you know, if you know like a classic Sesame Street song, that sounds like a rock song, Chris wrote it. And he's awesome. I mean, he's the nicest guy. And, you know, I saw him probably a month or so ago, and he was just very adamant about, like, what are we doing together? We got to work together on something. I'm like, you wrote Telephone Rock. Like, I'm nobody compared to you.
Put down the ducky, too. That's another one. Yeah,
he co-wrote Put Down the Ducky with Norman Stiles. I mean, like, yeah, this guy is a rock star to me. And the fact that he even knows me is just baffling. So yeah, so stuff like that. And I have gotten to meet some of the characters. Like I said, it's always a treat. You know, I've gotten to interview some people like Frank Oz and Paul Williams and Carol Spinney and, you know, Jerry Nelson. I mean, if you know these names, you know that these are like the Beatles to us. You know, this is, you know, top tier. Yeah, it's that stuff is definitely a trip. I'm thinking hard about the worst part though. Like there's definitely a burden to feeling an obligation to, you know, having to keep a website running, you know, day to day. Thankfully, I'm not doing it by myself. I have a couple of co-owners who do this with me, Ryan Rowe and Jared Fairclough. But, you know, you don't always like want to sit down and write about Muppets. Like, I know it sounds cool, but once you've been doing it for like over a decade, it kind of loses its shine a little bit. You know, and then there's also like, I hate to say it, because I love the fans and I love fandom, but like sometimes there's fans who don't like what you do and they're going to tell you, and like, that sucks. That stings. But, you know, that we're here for everybody. We got to listen to them.
Yeah. But you don't take it personally though. I've noticed that. It's not like you're not clapping back at like the haters on Twitter and stuff like that. Even on your forum, you're always you brush it off though. You're good at that. Cause there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks out there, especially in the age of social media where everyone wants a voice and wants to get in a soapbox. You've always been pretty good at tuning that out, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. I've never quite understood when there are people who are like, I got to delete my Twitter because everyone's coming at me. And it's like, well, have you considered just not reading what they're saying or not caring? I mean, I'm okay not like when people, you know, like, so, okay, great example. I can talk about this because I feel very strongly about my position. During the 2016 election, we wrote some stuff about Donald Trump, about how he does not represent any of the values that we've learned from being Muppet fans over the years. And we had people who were getting really upset about us, about getting political or about, you know, defending this guy that they kind of liked or whatever it was. I'm sorry, not defending him, but, you know, decrying
him. The opposite,
him.
Ripping him, sure.
Yeah, right. You know, it was hard for me to read those comments because I wanted to think more highly of our readers. But at the same time, it's like, but you know what, though? This is important to me and I'm going to keep saying it. And you can start your own Muppet fan site if you want. But, right. But this is what we say. And, you know, I don't, like you said, like, I don't have to engage. I can just not. And more people are reading what I have to say than your comments about the thing that I have to say. So, you know, there you go. That's I win, I guess.
Yeah,
I win the argument. Just with sheer numbers.
Hey, listen, you win in the eyes of fans like me. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I think I even said to you when I reached out, I've been reading you guys since I was in high school, which, if memory serves, was probably like right around when you took over 05, 06, 07 range, right? Is that kind of when you stepped into the chair?
I mean, like a tiny bit of Tough Pigs history is the site started in 2001 by our good friend Danny Horn. Danny left Tough Pigs to start the Muppet Wiki, which is the greatest resource that anyone, Muppet fans or otherwise, could ever find. He did that in around 2005. And then the site went dark for about a year before Ryan Rowe and I took it over. So we started in about 2006, leading into 2007, somewhere around there. So we're going on 15 years of Ryan and I working on the site.
Very particular, interesting chapter right there in Muppet history, because around then they weren't really doing much. But I remember I must have gotten a hold of you guys, or at least, you know, I became aware of your website when that whole Save the Muppets campaign got a lot of attention. Let me ask you, for a relatively niche fandom, does it ever amaze you when you find yourself in the center of the news with these like big media outlets talking about what you're writing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like you said, it's so niche. Save the Muppets was a campaign that went on during Danny's time. So that predates me. I definitely was aware of, I was, you know, heavily involved with Tough Pigs, just not on the website. That campaign picked up some national news, which was great and terrible, of course. But the thing for me that really put us on the map in a lot of ways was we were the ones who broke the news about Steve Whitmire being let go as the performer of Kermit the Frog and Matt Vogel taking on as the new performer. And, you know, suddenly, you know, we're fielding interview requests from, you know, big news sources. We have every news source that's citing us and linking to us in you know, in their articles, because we were the ones who broke the news. And at first it was really fun. At first it was like, I was keeping track of every mention that we got, and it was so cool. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing, and it went, oh no, this is not fun anymore. This is actually scary. Like, we're not prepared for this. You know, we're like a little WordPress site, you know, so it's definitely a double-edged sword. You know, it's attention. It can be good, but too much attention is, you know, can drown you.
Dude, I have a quick baseball tie into that story, and it's the Steve Whitmire story. It's kind of bizarre because this was 2017. So my birthday usually falls the same week as the MLB All-Star game. I'm turning 27 at the time, out with a bunch of buddies, celebrating, watching the game. And I want to preface to you that not one of my friends is an actual Muppet fan. I mean, they appreciate them for sure. And I've forced them to watch a few movies over the years. We all have friends like that in the Muppet fan. And they respect what we like, but they're not a part of it. But I think my friend Doug turned to me and said, "Who's Tough Pigs? They're saying there's a new Kermit the Frog." I was like, going through my mind, I'm like, "A, Dougie, how the hell do you know Tough Pigs? And B, what the hell are you talking about?" And he showed me his phone, and he's got, you know, maybe the Washington Post pulled up that you guys broke the news about the firing. Totally distracted me from the rest of the game. My world kind of turned upside down. But you know, on that subject, because that was such a big thing, did Disney contact you directly to break that story? And did you have any idea that it was going to, you know, throw you into the media in such a big way?
That's a good question. I'm wondering if I ever talked about this publicly, but here we go. We're going to break it here on Break the Bat. So, I had caught wind of the news before anyone knew. And I remembered a few years back, there was Kermit the Frog appeared on America's Got Talent, and he was performed by someone else. And like the fans went nuts, like in a bad way. Like it was really ugly. And I kind of heard like there was no real plan to like reveal the new Kermit. And I'm like, this is going to happen again. Like it's going to be the same thing. And like, I don't, honestly, like I mean, I care, of course, because I know people who work for the Muppets, but like I kind of don't care about what's going on behind the scenes. I have no control over what Disney wants to do. I care about the fans. Like I want to make sure that the fans aren't upset or angry or feel like they have to like start another Save the Muppets style campaign. So I reached out to Disney, and they basically told me, "Look, well, their plan was they like at the time they were doing these weekly short social media videos of like Muppet Thought of the Day, and the idea was like they were just going to kind of like let Kermit premiere in those things. It was going to be nice and quiet." And I went, "That's it's not going to work. It's gonna be a huge mess." I said, "I'll tell you what. What if we Tough Pigs break the news that way?" We can limit the information that gets released. You can tell us exactly what you want to be out in the world, and there's no follow-up because they can ask us all the questions we want. We don't know. We don't have any information, but no one's going to Disney to say, "Can you expand on that?" So they said that's great. They told us the three bits of information were, you know, Steve Whitmire is no longer Kermit, Matt Vogel is the new Kermit, and here's where you'll see the new Kermit for the first time. That was it. We worked very closely on the exact wording of how that would be and the exact timing. We also looped in another Muppet fan site, the Muppet Mindset, to release it at the same time, just to make sure that like we were all on the same page, with how and when we were going to talk about it. The problem that we came across very quickly was I guess two problems. One was that no one talked to Steve Whitmire about the news and basically to make sure that he's on the same page. So when he started going on talk shows and telling his side of the story, there was nobody on our side. Well, it's not our side. It's Disney's side. There's nobody on Disney's side to say, here's our side of the story. And suddenly it's like, well, we put out those three facts, those three bullet points, and Steve is out there, you know, saying, whatever he wants. So that made the story so much more complicated. And it's not even about like what's true or what's not. It's really just, it just complicated things. And we didn't want that. We wanted the story to just like, here's the facts. Everyone have, you know, an emotional reaction to it. And then let's make more Muppet stuff. That's what we wanted. The other thing that kind of screwed everything up there was, I think that Disney truly believed that this story would go away very quickly and quietly. And I had a feeling it was not. I had a feeling like this was going to be big news. We're talking about Kermit the Frog. Like, that's not nobody. So when it did explode, when the news really blew up, Disney, or at least the people that we were working with at Disney, were completely unprepared. And it took them like a good week or so to like really formulate any kind of statement or response to it. And at that point, like, the news cycle has run away with this thing. You can say whatever you want. No one's listening. And, you know, meanwhile, for us at Tough Pigs, that was the extent that we wanted to be involved. You know, we report on the news and we do commentary, but we don't talk about things like, you know, performers' personal lives or, you know, behind the scenes negotiate like that. None of that is interesting to us. And like, it's not our business. So we're here to say, like, I mean, here's what we know about the new performer. We're waiting until we can see the new Kermit. Otherwise, you know, we're just kind of watching everyone else spiral. So yeah, that whole experience was one of the craziest and best and worst times of my tenure at Tough Pigs.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to get into who was right and who was wrong, but like the fact that they didn't have a response definitely added fuel to the fire. But did they like consult you guys at all? You know, being that you had such a pulse of the fan base as to the best way to go about this. Oh, should we get, you know, Brian Henson involved? You know, I wasn't, did, were you guys kind of out of the loop once you put the news out there?
Yeah, completely out of the loop. Yeah, that, and you know, wouldn't expect them to talk to us about that stuff. It would be neat if they did. But you know, whenever I do talk to, you know, my contacts at Henson or Disney or Sesame, I always tell them, like, we're here, like, we're happy to like sign an NDA and help you, you know, to formulate a, you know, a product or whatever it is, production that the fans are really going to enjoy. And they've never taken us up on that. That's okay. You know, we are designed, Tough Pigs and fan sites in general are designed to be a response to the productions that are put out. So, you know, my feelings aren't hurt that they didn't say like, well, Joe, what do you think about the new Kermit? It's like, well, you guys are going to do whatever you want.
You know what? One thing I wonder about that is I think at the time, the head of the Muppet studio, it was Debbie McClellan. She was out within like a year of that happening. Do you think that there was that one was related to the other?
Oh, I have no clue. I have no clue. I mean, we can speculate all we want about that right. stuff. You know, a part of me wonders, you know, how connected. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really would have put the two and two together there. It's possible. But at the same time, you know, there's other performers who've been around a lot longer. You know, Dave Goles is still with the Muppets. Bill Beretta has been involved with the Muppets for many years. And he's also, you know, credited as a producer. There's some other guys behind the scenes who've been around, you know, for a long time. And I you know, it feels like Disney is interested in keeping a lot of the people who have worked with the Muppets to like, keep them working with the Muppets. You know, like we want to keep this family together. So. You know, I don't know if, you know, I guess if there was like three or four or five people who were all fit in that regard and were all let go, then that's like, well, they're clearing house, obviously, but you know, it's two people. It's hard to draw a pattern from just two. So I don't know, speculate all you want, but I honestly don't have any more information than that.
Yeah, no, I've these like conspiracy theories in my head and everything, but
for sure. Yeah.
was curious to hear your thoughts on that. And,
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
On a lighter note, Joe, let's talk some Muppet holiday specials. It's December 6th right now. There's dozens to choose from. In a typical holiday season, how many are you watching each year?
Ooh. Good question. You know, there's so many. You're right. There's so many. There's so many Muppet holiday specials that I can't watch them all. I usually I usually run out of time. Yeah, I probably make it through like 4 or 5 a year. It's also like you said, it's December 6th right now. It does not feel like Christmas here in New York. Like, and then by the time it does feel like Christmas, it's gonna be like, well, crap, we have like 4 days and like a lot of like family responsibilities. Like, when are we gonna sit down and watch all these movies?
It's true. It's true. I know. The one I led with, only because, and actually the only one I've watched so far this year, unless you include Muppets Haunted Mansion, which I guess is a holiday special, but
it's,
I saw
it's a different holiday. Yeah.
Different holiday, but I saw that they uploaded Letters to Santa onto Disney Plus, and I had not watched that, no exaggeration, since I was in college, 08, 09, whatever it was. I know that one obviously has a bit of a special connection to you because it really put you on, you know, the mainstream with a lot of the Muppet performers. I remember the Steve Whitmire interview you did, but I don't know about you, but when you go back and look at that one now, do you feel like it's just like too cutesy, like just kind of like the opposite of what the Muppets are about? It like didn't have that edge. And I don't remember that much from back in the day, but do you agree with that?
I do. And I don't know if I'd say edge. You know, people always use that kind of thing, that kind of phrase for, you know, old properties that need to kind of be rejuvenated in some way. And the Muppets, they did have an edge, but like, it's not an edge. They just need to be a little, have a little more chaos in their lives. You know, I don't need more of like Pepe making sex jokes, but I do want, you know, like some genuinely, you know, new and interesting content, you know, with the Muppets, you know, whether it's taking risks, the characters are taking risks, or the people behind the scenes are taking risks. Like that's what we need. But that special in particular, it felt so safe. Like, and, you know, when people talk about the Muppets, they often say, you know, the Muppets are a lot of fun, but they have heart. And there's, I kind of always go back to like the Muppet movie, where like it's a fun and crazy movie. And then you have like the quiet moment of Gonzo singing, I'm going to go back there someday. And like, that's a lovely little moment. And, you know, it's great when it's that one little thing. But that special flipped it, where like so much of Letters to Santa is about heart. I think there's even a song where they sing about heart. I mean, I don't know, like it's too much. And then like the fun and crazy stuff is like forgettable because it's drowned out by like, you know, let's do a nice thing for Christmas. Like, that's not what the Muppets are. The Muppets accidentally like fall ass backwards into doing a nice thing for Christmas, you know?
That's right. There, it's light the lamp, not the rat, and the mayhem that goes along with that. Right. What's one or two specials that, or movies that you're going to watch like every holiday season, no matter what? Do you have a few favorites that stand out?
Oh, for sure. Well, the one that we definitely watch every year, we actually, this one we start early. My wife's birthday is in late November, and her favorite movie of all time is Muppet Christmas Carol. So we always watch Muppet Christmas Carol around her birthday. So that one we've already checked off the list. You know, I love Muppet Family Christmas. We're actually doing, over on Tough Pigs, we're doing a daily podcast right now. We're reviewing Muppet Family Christmas 2 minutes at a time. We're doing it every day from December 1st to December 24th. So you got plenty of time to catch up. But that one is just, man, it's a perfect special. It's, don't know it off the top of your head, it's the one where the Muppets and the Sesame Street characters and the Fraggles are all there together celebrating Christmas. And, you know, you could find it on a YouTubular, website if you know where, how to look it up.
Yeah.
the one that I love revisiting, it's not well known, but, there's a special called A Special Sesame Street Christmas. Are you familiar with this one?
You know, it's funny. I've never seen it. I think I've seen a YouTube clip with the one with Michael Jackson. And then oh my goodness. Was it Ethel Merman or Leslie Uggam sang some song with, you know,
both of them are
the characters? Yeah. Both of them are in it. I haven't seen the special in full, but you like to revisit that one?
I love it because it's one of those things where how the hell did this thing get made? It's so bad. It's so bad, Al. So, for people who don't know, it came out the same holiday season as Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which is regarded as one of the greatest holiday specials of all time. Mm-hmm. And it was two different production companies, and they both wanted to make a holiday special. And Sesame Street was like, I don't know. I mean, should we make two? I mean, maybe if we make two, then one of them will make it to air, which is ridiculous. Nowadays, you don't make something in case it might make it. You make it because it's already sold, you know? So they got two puppeteers, Carol Spinney and whoever's in the Barkley outfit in near, like for like a second at the end. Like I think they got three or four of the Sesame humans, and like even Mr. Hooper like checks out halfway through. He just kind of Will Lee disappears. The cast list is bonkers. You've got Ethel Merman singing Tomorrow from Annie, and she calls Imogene Coca an idiot at one point. You have a pre-solo career Michael Jackson showing up with his original nose and hair.
Yeah.
And he like doesn't sing a song. He gives Oscar a book about ghosts. That's all he does. You got Leslie Uggam sings a love song to Oscar. She is in love with that guy, and it's not appropriate for this special. What else? Oscar sings Yakety Yak, which is maybe my favorite Christmas song.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to say anything else. It's just so bad. Oh, they got one Smothers brother, which is my other favorite thing about it. They didn't get both of them. Smothers.
Is it bad? I don't know who the Smothers brothers are.
Oh, you got to look up the Smothers brothers. Smothers brothers are the best. They were a comedy duo. And
they only got half the duo.
Yeah, they only got half the duo. And like they try to do this like Christmas Carol parable, but like it doesn't work. And like this thing was written in like 20 minutes and they just did it. It is garbage.
So it's wonderfully awesome.
Yeah, it like very much falls in the camp of so bad it's good. I mean, it's a delight to watch over and over again. Please watch it this holiday season, everybody. A special Sesame Street Christmas.
You think I can find that on the YouTubular in full also?
Yeah, it's out there somewhere, I'm sure. I think whoever actually owns it doesn't care.
Yeah. Dude, you mentioned Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. That one, I mean, yeah, not just great Muppet Christmas specials of all time, but I think like definitive like Christmas special canon right there. And what I loved about that one, especially as like a young kid, it's just so synonymous with Christmas to me. And one thing I loved is there was like a very big influence of Jim Henson and Frank Oz on that special, which I think at the time was kind of rare because they were so busy with the Muppet Show, like during that late 70s period. But, you know, to have their characters have such major storylines. And I remember like those scenes that Frank did with Cookie Monster, like trying to call Santa Claus and destroying the phone and stuff. It's like, it just had that like real Muppet magic coming from every angle. Of course, like the Big Bird storyline was amazing too, but it feels like you just had like everyone there and it was like, I think it's perfection.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's interesting, the more, you know, every year when I watch that one and I'm reminded that there is a storyline like about Big Bird doesn't know how Santa Claus gets down the chimney and they're asking all these kids and he ends up going on the roof and he's lost and whatever, but it's cut with all these other little vignettes, you know, Cookie Monster trying to write the letter and Bert and Ernie trying to get each other gifts and they do a little gift of the Magi thing. And like, it's all these like intersecting, overlapping, like not really related except, you know, obviously thematically. And you know, it's not a movie. It's not like one story straight through. I think it's actually kind of gutsy of them to try something like that. Cause nowadays, you know, if Sesame Street's going to do a special, especially a holiday special, it's like, okay, Elmo's doing this thing. We're going through the story that like we'll have celebrity guests and we'll have songs and you'll know exactly how it flows from A to Z. But this one was a little bit more like, you know, I don't know, haphazard in an organized way. I don't really know how else to explain it, but it's like from a filmmaking standpoint, I think it's fascinating.
One thing that I loved about that too is that Kermit pops up in there. I don't know if I've ever talked to anyone about this, but one of like the things I love about being a Muppet fan is when Kermit pops up when you don't really expect him to. And the other one where that kind of happens is with Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Like I love seeing sure. Kermit like with those other characters outside of like the main Muppet troupe, like him with the River Bottom Nightmare Band in Emmett Otter. Just like little stuff like that, like kind of gets me super stoked as a fan. I don't know how often you hear that, but
I mean, so that's who's the guy from Law and Order? Richard Belzer's character, like, you know, he shows up in every TV show. Don't worry about it.
I gotta look up that. Is that like a joke that I should know about?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So Richard Belzer's character from Law and Order has shown up on like dozens of different TV shows. Not Richard. I mean, it is Richard Belzer the actor, but it is his character from Law and Order who's shown up. So like, there's this theory man, okay, I'm going to get way off topic for a second. There's this thing called the Tommy Westfall theory, which is the name of a character from the TV show Saint Elsewhere. Are you aware of, man, oh, God, I'm going on tangent on top of tangent. Are you aware of the famous finale of the TV show Saint Elsewhere? It's like the original, like it was all a dream.
No, I haven't seen
it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay, so the end of Saint Elsewhere, you like the camera kind of pans back. Turns out the hospital, Saint Elsewhere, where everything took place, was inside of a snow globe. And there's a kid, the character's name is Tommy Westfall. And he's an autistic child. And he, like, it's insinuated that the whole series took place in his imagination. So the Tommy Westfall theory is, well, every TV show that is connected to Saint Elsewhere, you know, because they did things like they had characters from other TV shows would like make a cameo appearance, or Richard Belzer from, you know, his character from Law and Order or whatever it is. So if those shows also took place in Tommy Westfall's imagination, and then all the shows that are connected to those shows, and it just bubbles completely out. So there's like hundreds and hundreds of TV shows that all take place in this child's brain. Okay, that's the Tommy Westfall theory.
You just blew Richard my mind. I see where you're going with this. I see
where you're going. So Kermit the Frog is the Richard Belzer of the Muppets, where he's been able to be like, okay, like he's on the Muppet Show, but he's also on Sesame Street. He also has the connection to Sam and Friends. He also showed up in M and Otter. He also showed up in The Christmas Toy, which is another great holiday special.
Yes.
He shows up in The Muppets Musician of Bremen, you know, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. And then, you know, if we're going to continue that theory of, so all these things that are referenced, you know, like maybe all the TV shows that crossed over with Sesame Street, like they had Pee Wee Herman on there. So like the Pee Wee's Playhouse characters are all in the Muppet universe, and they had Mike Myers playing Wayne from Wayne's World on an episode of Sesame Street. So now all the Saturday Night Live characters are in the Muppet universe, and so on and so forth. This is how my brain works, Al.
Had you thought about this before, or you thought about this on the fly right now?
I mean, this is something I've been working on. I do want to like flesh this out into a Tough Pigs article, but as you can see, it sounds like crazy talk. Like, this is not the these are not the words of a sane man talking about how, you know, I just put the cone heads into the Muppet universe. Like that doesn't belong.
Wait, listen, man, I'm sure it's not every day though that someone like brings that up to you. It's like, oh, I love this very particular thing about Kermit the Frog, how he'll be in anything from the Frog Prince to Emmett Otter to, you know, a Sesame Street Christmas special to, you know, the fact that I'm so passionate about that, and it gets me so excited. The fact that you like immediately had like something that you were working on is so classic. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if you ever heard this before. Well, let me tell you about this.
Well, let me just take your theory and, you know, let me just blow it completely to smithereens and, you know, yeah. Oh,
my God, that is so good, man. Holy cow. What was I going to say? So you guys are you going to be working on the Muppet Family Christmas podcast? Cause I know in the past you've had your partner Ryan, pretty heavily involved. Are you going to be co-hosting that as well?
Yeah. So the way that they've organized this, so like I said, they're doing it daily from December 1st to December 24th. They're all short episodes because we know it's a lot of, like, we're not asking you to listen 2 hours a day. They're like 15 minute episodes. The idea is Ryan and Anthony, who are the co-hosts, they wanted to do just guests who are members of their family. And by family, they mean us. So they did a couple episodes, just the two of them. Then they're doing five episodes with Ryan's wife, Stacy. They're doing five episodes with Anthony's wife, Roz. They're doing five episodes with Danny Horn, who was the founder of Tough Pigs, and five episodes with me, not in that order. But that's the idea. So we've already recorded ours. It's super fun. I specifically requested to talk about the Fraggle Rock sequence. So oh, nice. We get to geek out about Fraggles for a bit. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I love that scene, the with Pass It On, and then you have Jim Henson with Sprocket at the end. Like, someone better do something about these dishes here, Sprocket. Like,
that's just perfect, man. I what a great moment. What a great special. That's special. And this is why it's perfect for them to review 2 minutes at a time. Like, every moment of that special is just, like, chef's kiss perfect.
Yeah. Oh man. Like I, especially when they did that medley of Christmas songs, and you mentioned the Christmas toy before they did that song. Like it's in Everyone Wants. Actually, it's oh my God, why I'm confusing the John Denver. It's in Every One of Us.
Yeah, it's in Every One of Us was from the John Denver and the Muppets Christmas special, which is also super fun and sometimes so bad it's good, but yes. That's a good special to watch. No, the song from the Christmas toy is Together at Christmas.
Old Friends, called? New Friends. Yeah.
Old Friends, New Friends. Yeah. We'll be together at Christmas. I think it might be called Together at Christmas. I'm going to Google it. But yes, we refer to it as Old Friends, New Friends.
Yeah. Oh man. I just get like all the chills thinking about that. I need to sit down and watch that one this holiday season because I don't think Letters to Santa can be my lone Muppet holiday viewing this year.
Yeah. I mean, so this is a bigger topic, but like this is the thing about Disney Plus and how we're very, very lucky that in the past year they've put all five seasons of the Muppet Show on Disney Plus. That was the game changer for us. But now that that's done, now that they finally listened to us after years and years of begging them to release all five seasons of The Muppet Show in some form or another, we're looking back and we're saying, well, now there's all these old Muppet specials, all these old Muppet appearances elsewhere that Disney owns, or they could, you know, negotiate one way or another. To get onto Disney Plus for us. One of those, of course, being Muppet Family Christmas, which is terrific and we'd love to see it. There's got to be insane rights issues because the Muppets are split between three companies now. Not to mention, like, some of those songs are apparently pretty hard to get the license for. Like, people who might own that special on DVD or VHS might know that, like, a couple of the songs are missing because, you know, they didn't get the rights to, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town or whatever. I'd love to see that. And then the one that is really glaring to me that has not been on Disney Plus yet is, have you ever seen The Muppets at Walt Disney World?
Yes, I have. Oh, that's a great one. Charles Grodin.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
That is so good. Yeah, with Rizzo. Great. I love those scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great special. And like, hey, it's about the Muppets at Walt Disney World. It's a commercial for their own park. They own everything. There's even like Indiana Jones stuff in there. And it's like, well, now you own Indiana Jones. There is nothing stopping you. Just get it up there. I don't even care if it's like blurry and grainy, like it came right off of YouTube. Like just, you know, give it to us. Let the fans see it. You know what I mean?
Watch, they'll do something stupid like put Muppets Wizard of Oz on there before they put Muppets at Walt Disney.
Is Muppets Wizard of Oz not on Disney Plus?
I have not checked because I haven't cared to watch it. But I, if memory serves, that might be the last time we saw Clifford, which also comes to mind with like Muppets at Walt Disney World, because I remember he was in the Electric Mayhem for that one. But I think it's like a pretty sad send-off for Clifford. He was always a character I liked. And
the fact I always liked Clifford.
Appeared being in that monstrosity. I mean, Steve Whitmire even came on this show and said, like, it's probably not our greatest work. And I didn't even, that was unprovoked. So I think that's a popular opinion, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There have been things where at the time, as these guys are promoting it or working on it, and we've talked to them, some of these productions, they're just like, yeah, you know, it's going to be real fun. And then like we wait a year and they're like, oh boy, like that. That Lady Gaga on the Muppets holiday special is something else, you know?
Oh my God. Is that worse than the Michael Jackson Sesame Street Christmas in your eyes, the Lady Gaga?
It's very bad, but it's not so bad that you want to watch it to like cringe, you know, it hurts a little bit. You know, that one's not fun. I do think that there's a couple of moments in that special that are good and worth watching, but not worth watching the whole thing just for those.
Right. The I liked when Kermit and Lady Gaga did Gypsy. Like that was great. But the rest of it, if memory serves, like it was just kind of garbage. And like one bit, and I love Lady Gaga. She's super talented, but it just felt like a big commercial that they got the Muppets into, which wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't
so my favorite. From what I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but from what I heard, it started as just a Lady Gaga holiday special, but celebrities kept dropping out. And they're like, well, we don't have a celebrity for this one. So like the Muppets are here. Can we just throw them in the back or can we just do another thing with them? And eventually they put the Muppets in so many different scenes. They're like, I think we need double billing.
Wow. I never heard that. That's interesting. I remember Kristen Bell was there, which no arguments with that. But
we're big fans of Kristen Bell in this house. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, Joe, I could honestly sit here and talk Muppet holiday specials with you all day, but there is a little segment that we use here on Break a Bat to wrap every show. It's sort of like could be your welcoming to the baseball meets Broadway community. It's called Fastball Derby. You picture yourself in the ninth inning, games on the line, two outs. Raldis Chapman is on the mound throwing 100 miles an hour. I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me the first thing that comes to mind and try to bring home that winning run. You think you can handle it?
I do not, but we're going to do it anyway.
All right, let's do it. Favorite New York City meal?
Favorite New York City meal? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ooh, man, got to go with bagel, cream cheese, and lox. Classic.
Love it. Throw some capers on there, some onion too, tomato. That's my kind of breakfast. There we go.
Heck yeah.
You can be the lead in one Broadway show. What would it be?
Oh, man. I am not a performer. Broadway show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about this too much for lightning round. Yeah, I always liked Into the Woods. I think I would have been a good, I'll be the narrator. It seems like it's not the lead, but you know, I could just say some stuff and then, you know, get killed halfway through second act. And then I'm out. Done. See you at the curtain call.
Team Derek Jeter or Team A-Rod?
Who? I don't know, man. I think Derek Jeter was on Sesame Street once. I don't know if A-Rod was. I'm going off memory. If someone can correct me if I'm wrong, so I'll go with Jeter for that reason.
Very fun, quick pivot for you. And I don't know if it might be on Muppet Wiki, but I remember the Yankees were in Japan at the Tokyo Dome opening the 2004 season. It was pretty funny. They had, for some reason, like at the Yankees versus Tampa Bay Devil Rays game, they had Kevin Clash in the dugout doing Elmo alongside whoever the Japanese version of Elmo was. And they had, so Hideki, it was a really big deal because Hideki Matsui had come over from Japan to play for the Yankees. And this was like his homecoming. And they had, but for some reason, they did some bit where like the Japanese, Hideki Matsui was talking to the Japanese Elmo in Japanese. And then he's going back to Kevin doing Elmo in English and speaking like a little bit of English. I never have seen any footage of it though. Does this ring a bell at all?
It does ring a bell. I don't know. I don't know from what or where. I'm assuming you've looked online for it. If it's not on YouTube, I don't know where to point you. But.
There's a cool picture of Jeter with Elmo in like a Yankee hat, I think, from that series, but all right, you're Team Derek Jeter then, because he has an affiliation.
Sure, by default. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
Strangest place you've ever been recognized?
Oh man. Well, I don't get recognized that often. This is not really the strangest place, but I will say I was at New York Comic Con once a few years ago, and there was a Muppet fan who was cosplaying as me. So that might take the cake.
That's a bit surreal, isn't it? Or is it,
man,
a bit weird?
It's super weird. Super weird. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am touched. I am honored. But I am no one's celebrity.
Toughest interview you've ever had to navigate?
Ooh, toughest interview I've ever had to navigate. I mean, any of the interviews I did my first few years at Tough Pigs were the toughest because I didn't know what I was doing. Frank Oz was tough, and that was probably because of the preparation we did. We really tried to over prepare because we know that Frank is notoriously a tough interviewer. I'll go with Frank. Appropriately tough.
Yep, touche. Unrelated to the game, but just want to hear your thoughts on this quick. How different do you think the franchise would be if Frank was still involved?
I think creatively it would be a huge hit. Frank would know exactly how to wrangle the performers and the writers to produce like something that was genuinely funny and interesting and good for the brand. Commercially, I mean, I hope that it would be better. It's impossible to say, to be honest, but I think in a perfect world, there's no going back in time for me, but like in a perfect world, Disney would find a way to bring Frank Oz in and make him, like one of a panel of a brain trust that can kind of retrain everybody to, kind of bring back that classic Muppet chaos, the correct amount of heart and, course correct on some of the characters that have maybe gotten a little bit too two-dimensional over the years.
Well said.
And also, like, who's going to say no to Frank Oz?
Right.
Like, get Frank in there and he'll whip you into shape.
That is for sure. That's so cool you got to interview him, by the way. You guys did an audio interview with him too, right? That's on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, so we did an audio interview. So that one was not, we didn't get to look him in the eye like you and I are over Zoom right now. But I have met Frank Oz a couple of times. Literally, the first time I ever met Frank Oz was I was walking down the street and I spotted Frank Oz and I got to stop him and say hello. And wow, that's incredible. That's like a fever dream.
Yeah. Seriously, holy cow. That is bucket list.
You never know.
Right there. Yeah, you never know.
You never know who you're going to run into. Keep your eyes open, everybody.
It's true. Now, our final two fastballs here. Fact about Johannes that would surprise people the most.
Oh, man. Fact about me. I mean, you know what's funny is, like, usually my go-to fact is I run them up at Fansite and people go, what? That's weird. And then they go, why? And I'm like, I don't know how to answer that question. Fact about me. I don't know, man. I'm an open book. You can edit out my silence here if you want while I'm thinking about something that's reasonably interesting.
See, I told you this game would be tough, man.
Yeah, this is tough. I'm like looking around the room for inspiration. Like, I don't know if I talk about like my Nintendo.
No, how about a surprising, like, well, you have some really cool stuff on the wall there. What's like a surprising, like, piece of memorabilia that you have up there?
Oh, good question. Do I have anything that's surprising? I mean, nothing within arm's reach, unfortunately. What do I have? Oh, okay. So in the other room, I have an original program art from the Muppet Show Live that was given to me as a gift recently, which I feel very proud of because it looks like a great piece of art. But it's like, and it's not just like someone took Muppet Show Live and then the program and then just framed it. Like, this is the original artwork. So that's pretty incredible. That might be at the moment my favorite thing that's actually on display. I'm sure I have some cool stuff that's like tucked away. I have actively tried to curb my Muppet collection over the last few years. I live in New York City. I have a small Brooklyn apartment, and there's only so much I can put up. And, you know, I don't live alone. My wife doesn't want all the walls filled with all of my toys and stuff. Like, that's gotta, you gotta hold back once in a while. But then also, like, sometimes you find something really cool and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I got this big bust of Animal's head and it just needs to live here. I'm sorry. Oh, I bought not too long ago. I think it was last year, during the pandemic, a statue of Godzilla that has Cookie Monster's face. And then at the end of the tail is a little Grover face. And it's huge. And
who's
it's
making
incredible.
That, by the way? I've seen that thing before because I think you posted about it when you got was that like a Sesame product?
No, it came from Bottleneck Gallery, which I don't really know how they work, but they sell like limited art prints and statues and things like that. So I bought it from them. And like, man, it's cool and it's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, as a joke, we should all be so lucky to have a wife whose favorite movie is The Muppet Christmas Carol. So the fact that you can at least get some of it, you know, on display is a pretty good deal.
That's right. Yeah, I'll take the win.
Yeah. Now, Joe, lastly, what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
The best piece of advice anyone gave me. I don't know. I don't listen to people when they talk. Now, you know, the best piece of advice really is, surround yourself with people who make you better. I've often said, I don't have time for people who don't make me a better person or who don't, actively, feed my creativity or my the love of life or whatever it is. There are people out there who, not that they're going to take advantage, but like some people are energy sucks. Some people don't jibe with you the way that you want them to. Some people you've just been friends with for so long that it's almost become like a frustrating relationship. And then there are people out there who will feed your creativity, people who will make you, better at your job, people who will give you the joy that you need to get through the day. I think if you can find your people and just surround yourself with them and then feed them in return. It's going to make you a happier person. It's going to make you better at your job. It's going to make you happier with your hobbies. It's going to make your Muppet fan site better. It's going to make your baseball podcast as great as it can be. Just surround yourself with people who make you better and then give it back in return.
Joe, it's awesome stuff. And I think that there's a reason why I've been reading your work for like literally half my life now, it seems. And dude, this was just such a pleasure. We got to make it a tradition to have you come into the batter's box. Thank you for being here, man.
Of course. Yeah, this was a blast. Have me back anytime. Next time I'll try to do a little bit of research on baseball facts before. And then I'll impress you with, you know, all the things I know about home runs and outs and sliding into third and other baseball terms.
You got yourself a deal. And hey, if it makes you feel any better, more than 100 episodes into this show, this is the first time that anyone's ever brought up a mascot. So there you go, man. I think you hit a home run tonight.
Awesome. I'll take it.
Love it. Joe, thank you so much, man. And for all the folks at home who want to connect with you and Tough Pigs and all the cool stuff that you're up to, where's the best place for them to find you?
The best place is toughpigs.com. We are also on all the coolest social media channels, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your Instagrams, etc. at Tough Pigs. Pretty easy. We also have a Patreon. If you like us enough that you want to throw a few bucks our way, that's patreon.com/toughpigs. I don't know anything else. We put our email addresses at the bottom of every article, so feel free to reach out personally.
Awesome stuff. Joe, thank you again, my man. And thank you to all the Break a Bat heads that listened to us tonight. This is Al Malafronte signing off from the Break a Bat Holiday Block Party. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.